The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You've heard it said, you are what you eat. And today we dine at Christ's table. So you are what you eat. In this feast, we become Christ's body. And I love the image that we have today at Shepherd of the Valley with our Eucharistic ministers, our communion deliveries, right? We feast together on Saturday night, and then we go out from the table on Saturday night, and we set the table for someone else, right? We eat here together, and then we deliver it to others. The feast expands and grows. We become the body of Christ, and then we turn around and serve one another. In the Bible, feast stories like the one we found in Isaiah today are given to kings when they are victorious over their enemies. In fact, it sounds a lot like the song we sang today. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia. Right? When we revisit these words from Isaiah, it's not just an ordinary feast, right? It's a feast of rich food, well-aged wines, marrow. Death will be swallowed up forever. The Lord will wipe away all tears from all faces. I mean, that's a feast. In fact, if you stopped right there, it might be pretty reasonable to believe that the feast we find in Matthew's gospel, in this parable of a king who holds a feast, that if we interpret that allegorically, that this king is God, wanting to hold that kind of feast. And that's the way that parable is usually interpreted. And yet we come to some pretty troubling conclusions about God if that's how we do it, because that same king who holds a feast raises cities to the ground and throws people out. Well, today we're not going to interpret it that way. And so in order to do it a different way, I want to give you a little bit of history here to think about. You see, Judea had a king when Jesus was born, right? This is King Herod, the king who slaughtered the innocents at the beginning of the whole story in Matthew's gospel. And the thing of it is that Herod did not become a king in, say, the way that, like, David became king over Israel, right? He is not anointed by God. No, Herod was actually appointed by the Romans in about 40 BC, about 40 years before Jesus was born. And when he was appointed by the Romans, they sent him to Jerusalem with an army to take the city. So Herod gets to Jerusalem from Rome, they cross the sea, and he stands outside the gates and he says, "Look, I don't want to take this city by force. How about this? You get a temple priest's daughter, marry her to me. We're going to throw a big feast. and we're going to throw a wedding party, and I'll become your king. We don't need to use these soldiers. Sound familiar? That's our parable today. Well, here's what happens next, historically. The people inside the gates say no. So what does Herod do? He burns down the city and he sacks it. He burns people's homes down to teach them a lesson. So he wanted to throw a wedding feast, but instead he ends up razing the city to the ground. Huh, that sounds familiar too. Well, now he's in charge. So what does he do? Well, he's king and he's been victorious. So he throws a feast. And it turns out he marries the daughter of a temple priest anyway. So he wants to hold a wedding. People are invited. That is the newly homeless people of Jerusalem whose houses he's just razed. And they come. Sound familiar? That's our parable. A story of a terrible king whose feast of victory is absolutely good for no one but himself. It is a feast of death, as the feasts of powerful rulers usually are. Except there's this person in the parable who refuses to play along with the games of the powerful, and it threatens to undo everything. And this I would say to us, this is Jesus, the one who is thrown out of the feast because he threatens it by naming it as a feast of death, the one who refuses to play along with the games of the powerful king is Jesus. And we know where the story of Jesus goes. It leads us to the cross, where Jesus is put to death at the hands of the rulers of his day because he is a thorn in their side. So, you are what you eat. When we eat the body of Christ, we become the body that is thrown out of the party. We become the body of the one who refuses to go along with the dangerous whims of the powerful. We become the body of the one who refuses to take part in feasts of death. We are what we eat. And in this meal, we become a body that sets a table on the outside of the king's walls. And you might be asking, well, what does that look like, right? Well, it's kind of like this. One of my divinity school classmates, a guy named Marshall Hatch Jr., son of a well-known preacher named Marshall Hatch Sr. on the west side of Chicago. If you've ever been to the west side of Chicago, you know that it doesn't have the greatest reputation, right? Homelessness, gangs, drugs, violence. It's a neighborhood that a lot of people avoid. In fact, I used to avoid going there until I met Marshall. It's rough. And when you drive through neighborhoods like Garfield Park, like this one, you see cracked sidewalks that have kind of been beaten down into the road, right? You see deserted storefronts. You get the impression that powerful people have given up on it, that the city has given up on trying to make things better. There are all these studies about how long it takes things like ambulances and city services to reach their neighborhood in an emergency. When you go to different parts of the world or of our country, of our cities, you see whole neighborhoods that have been tossed outside by the powerful. So one day, Marshall brought a picture of a stained glass window that stands above the altar of his home church there in Garfield Park, New Mount Pilgrim Church. And like most churches, above the altar is a depiction of the body of Christ. This is a crucifix. And in fact, since we can use technology here on Zoom, I'm actually going to share a picture of that right now. One of the benefits of being on Zoom. So I know the picture isn't great, but if you look closely, you see first that we're looking at a body of Jesus, right? This is a church. So the body is the body of Jesus. But if you look closer at the torso of Christ, you see that it's in the shape of a boat. And if, I don't know if you can see it on your screens, but inside of that boat are hundreds of bodies stacked up on top of one another. This is Christ of the Maffa. Maffa is a Kiswahili word that translates into great disaster or African Holocaust or terrible occurrence. It refers to the transatlantic African slave trade and the ensuing effects of people of African descent. The bodies in that boat are the bodies of slaves who would be traded as goods in the Americas. We are what we eat. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. Becoming the body of Christ isn't an end. This isn't it, though. We are what we eat, yes, but this is a feast that transforms us. It turns us into people who turn around and set a table for others. And this is what Marshall has done, and it is so beautiful. He formed this organization called the Maffa Redemption Project, motivated and inspired. I have to imagine Marshall taking communion under that window week after week after week and thinking about this. And in this organization he formed, he gathers men of African descent from all around the city of Chicago, from the roughest neighborhoods, kids who grew up around shootings and poverty and gang violence, kids who were in gangs or doing the shootings and dealing the drugs. So he gathers up this group of men from all across Chicago. They live together there in the church, believe it or not, for 9 months. And over these 9 months, they get job placement and training. They live together in an intentional community. They get mentorship programs with pastors and counselors. They take academic classes in economics and identity. In other words, Marshall's setting a feast, and it's working. The impact on the lives of these men is enormous. He just got national attention for this Maffa Redemption Project. And these men leave after a year, and they set feasts for others. They bring this positive impact into their own communities. This is what it means when we sing, "This is the feast of victory for our God. For the Lamb who was slain has begun his reign." That the ones on the outside begin setting a feast for one another. That we meet Jesus outside the walls and set a feast outside those kings' gates. Alleluia. God's victory is not the victory of some king who would demolish cities. God's victory is that we are what we eat. God's victory is that we refuse the feasts of kings and instead turn and serve the ones who are tossed out. We eat this feast. We are refreshed in the body of Christ. And this is a body of love. This is a body that refuses to cast people out. This is a body that refuses the feasts of death. You are what you eat. And today we are the body of Christ, sent into the world to prepare a feast for the ones who are tossed out. Thanks be to God. Amen.